So there are many people out there that do a lot of wonderful things to help others. People who, you know, they work with children, people who work with adults, people who make the world a better place. One of the people that I've known for quite a while, a woman by the name of Miriam Kaba. I met her when she was working at Staines Family Foundation. You'd talk to people and you'd find out that people thought quite like me. Miriam Kaba is doing great work. I'd like to introduce you to Miriam Kaba.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I do want to start briefly by telling you that I admire the work that you do, and I think that the world is a better place, especially here in Chicago locally, because of the things that you've done and that you continue to do.
Thank you very much. It's really kind. I try to be a bridge, mm-hmm. and kind of an information, consider myself a bit of an information activist, mm-hmm. Which is just to connect people through understanding what's going on, because I think knowledge is power. So I do it in different ways, not in the same way that I did at Staines, but I continue to connect people that way.
How does one engage those people who may be interested, but what did you do, mm-hmm. to get other people who may not, who may have come to the meetings,
yeah.
and may not have come every time you met,
yeah.
but you kind of knew they're interested and they may show back up again?
Yeah, I feel like, again, I've learned over the years how to do that better. I think, I started a new organization last year called Project NIA, mm-hmm. And one of the, there are only two of us, and yet we accomplish a great deal, but we have 50 volunteers.
Right.
NIA means with purpose, mm-hmm. in Swahili. It also means, like, kind of to reflect. Mm-hmm. And so, basically, I think that, so I've mentioned that there are two staff, paid staff people, but there are 50 volunteers. Well, we have created, for example, I spend a lot of time developing something I call points of entry document. And points of entry documents are a map in our organization of all of the different places that somebody can contribute.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that if somebody is interested in what we do and wants to participate in what we do, so that I know what I have available.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that I think is the worst thing is to put it out there that you want volunteers and then not have anything that they can engage with.
Right.
But I know very clearly just how many volunteers we can really handle, mm-hmm. because I know exactly what kinds of things volunteers can do. It's really important for existing organizations to develop pipelines for young people who are interested, who have mm-hmm. talents, to figure out how they can contribute. You know, it's very hard to just go out of nowhere and create new things. Not everybody can do that.
Right.
But a lot of people can join something.
Right.
The thing I hear the most from people is, mm-hmm. I want to do something, I just don't know how to even start.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're having this conversation. Yeah. Because I think one of the things that we want to bring out somehow in civic engagement is, how do people start? Define civic engagement.
For me, at least, I think about engagement more along the lines of organizing. I feel like we need to combine the notion of engagement with the notion of transformation. And so I can't think of civic engagement without thinking about social transformation. Mm-hmm. So for me, you can't get to social transformation without being an organizer, because organizers seek to build power in order to make change. So for me, some civic engagement can be very individualistic, mm-hmm. and it can be me on a personal level doing something personally good. I find that to be very helpful and good, and I hope more and more people do that and get volunteer at the local soup kitchen, where I'm concerned and interested in how we going to dismantle the systems which continue to oppress people. Mm-hmm. How are we going to do the systemic change work that's going to actually be able to end poverty?
Right.
Like, I want that. That's my level of civic engagement.
Absolutely.
It's not, can I serve on the board of my local arts organization? I think that's critically important, and I have a lot of respect for people who do that. I have even more respect for people who serve on their local arts board and then ask questions about why the funding structure is set up the way that it's at. You know what
okay,
I mean?
I
and
see.
And take a different, mm-hmm. aren't just looking at the personal and local and mm-hmm. individual level of work, but
and
taking it to
essentially
a different
we
level.
Need all these people on these different levels, but yeah. then civic engagement is about engaging to make change.
I feel like it needs to be about building power in order to make change. So
Absolutely.
That's why I use more the term civic organizing or community organizing.
Sure.
For me, community organizing really is more of what I care about mm-hmm. in terms of that, and more of what I want my work to be about and is about. So
it's bigger.
It's about addressing systemic issues.
Sure.
It's not just about addressing individual pathology or Absolutely. Individual problems. All throughout my time here in Chicago, I've been involved in many things. I was one of the founding board members of a group called Women and Girls Collective Action Network, which still exists today. And that was an organization that was looking at thinking through ways that we could address the issues of violence from a perspective of community accountability mm-hmm. rather than over-reliance on the criminal legal system. I started an organization called Rogers Park Young Women's Action Team back in 2003 with a group of young women from the Rogers Park community who wanted to take action on issues of street harassment in their neighborhood.
Okay.
It's called YWAT.
Yep.
And YWAT still exists to this day, mm-hmm. and they're still doing their thing, and they've done a lot of projects since. So I'm an adult ally for that group of young women. The girls are ages 12 to 21. I then got involved, and I decided that I thought it was a good idea for Chicago to have its own freedom school that would focus on developing young people's leadership skills. Mm-hmm. And so I got a group of folks together to be part of founding a freedom school.
How did you choose the people that you wanted to be involved in founding freedom school?
We did so much stuff. We were lucky enough because an organization called Girls Best Friend Foundation,
yeah.
which was a foundation yeah. here locally, Cindy McLaughlin, who was the person who founded the foundation.
Did she die?
She died.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She died. And Cindy had a meeting. She knew the organization. She knew that the foundation was going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a meeting of thought leaders who worked with young women around mm-hmm. developing social activism. And I was at that meeting. And she asked, what does Chicago need? You know, what else is there that could happen? And of course, I always come prepared to meetings. So I had thought about a few ideas. And one of them I mentioned was, wouldn't it be great if Chicago had a freedom school?
Mm-hmm.
And people said, what's that? And they said, well, here's the example. So Cindy gave us some grant money to get a consultant who would go around Chicago and interview different people who were doing work with young people and ask them, what do you think about this idea of a freedom school? What would you be involved in helping us start one? So the consultant went out and did that. I think interviewed like 50 people from around the city. And so we had this great document that had people's ideas in it. We then invited everybody who'd been interviewed to come to a meeting mm-hmm. to talk about what the next steps might be.
Mm-hmm.
From there, myself and Joby Peterson, who was the other person who had stepped up to do some leadership work around this, we just started having one-on-one meetings with people and saying, hey, we're going to take this to the next level. Do you want to be part of it? We really want folks to come in and help shape the vision, the idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we ended up with a steering committee of 15 people starting in 2004. And that group basically got it together and founded the Chicago Freedom School, which launched in June of 2007. Yay.
And it has really awesome reviews.
It's been doing a lot of good work. I'm about to do a meeting for a group of young women that I've recruited to start and relaunch a program that used to be run at the juvenile jail for girls called Girl Talk. Okay. I sent an email out to listservs of where I knew young women of color were.
Okay.
I said to them, this is what we're trying to accomplish. If people are interested in hearing more, come to this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I got 25 people responding, saying that they want to come to this meeting. We will have key information for people. We'll talk about, we'll have an agenda. Mm-hmm. It'll be clearly demarcated. We'll tell them where, you know, we're headed. We'll get input and solicit data so that we can change our minds depending on what's going on in the group.
Mm-hmm.
We also will have a list of the potential ideas for leadership mm-hmm. structure. So that people know if they want to step up into leadership, they can do these kinds of things. These are the kinds of things that we're going to be doing.
Miriam, you're outstanding. There are people who want to do magnificent things like you. Mm-hmm. But everybody is not super organized. That's not their skill.
Well, I would say find somebody who is.
Okay.
You have to know your own strengths and your own weaknesses. I know what I'm not good at. You know, I identified that over time. So I don't try to do those things. I try to find people who know how to do those things.
Okay.
You know, the things that I'm good at, I bring those to the table. But I think that we need a kind of a grouping of ideas and a grouping of people who can make the thing work, right? Because I'm going to say, if you don't have somebody organized in your organization, then you're not going to be a good organization.
Right.
It's not possible.
It's good.
If you are, you know, a person who hates people, you better get somebody who likes to deal with people.
Absolutely.
And you better, you know, you better find somebody who can do that work. So it's just a matter of identifying your own talents and strengths and bringing those to the fullest extent.
Okay.
And so that's what I would say about that.
What's going on with the Chicago Freedom School? Give us some good updates.
Yeah, it's a great organization. Really lucky to have a good staff over there that are just exceptional people. We run programs that are called Freedom Fellowships, mm-hmm. which are year-long programs for young people around the city. Anybody who wants to participate can apply.
Ages
14 to 17. And what it does is it gives intensive support to young people to learn about anti-oppression. Anti-oppression is understanding the meaning of isms,
okay.
whether they're racism, classism, heterosexism, understanding that those are the root causes of a lot of violence, and they're the root causes of a lot of, you know, they're the root causes of oppression, right? Mm-hmm. They're oppression. So young people get an opportunity to learn about that within a context, and they get trained and they learn information about anti-oppression. We look at social movements of the past. We rely a lot on the civil rights movement mm-hmm. to teach young people how young people in the civil rights movement took action nice. To change the world. The young people who come, we try to engage their families, okay. and we have done family programs. We had a great intern, Vanessa, who did a family event, and it turned into a reading circle for nice. The parents. If your kid is coming to the Chicago Freedom School, you're pretty much assured to know what we're trying to do. Okay. We're trying to build critical consciousness for social change.
And where is this located?
We're in the South Loop.
Address?
719 South State Street.
Do you have a website?
Yes, chicagofreedomschool.org.
Okay.
We always look for new, you know, talented people who want to join our board. So anybody who wants to join in and cares about intergenerational organizing, that's what we are about.
Let's talk about social justice. And there are many organizations out there for Absolutely. Social justice.
I think there are a lot of organizations out there that work with young people around youth development. Mm-hmm. There are not that many organizations that do youth-led social change.
Wow.
Most organizations that exist, there are three kinds. There's the big organizations that are mostly tailored towards adults that tokenize young people, and there are a few young people that they work with from time to time, and those are usually exceptional young people. You know, so there are lots of groups like that. There are groups that do youth development, which also is excellent, where young people come and learn how to, you know, do some art, or they come and hang out, mm-hmm. or they have a good adult mentor and supporter, kind of the community centers, a lot of After School Matters kinds of projects, people like that. Those are youth development projects.
Correct.
Then there is a class of other work, which is about youth-led social change yes. and organizing. That asks young people to do a lot of critical thinking about their place in the world and about how they can change the world. That's different.
Right.
And that's not, and for us, it, you know, that's our work. Mm-hmm. That's the critical work.
And
we use arts mm-hmm. to do that.
Okay.
You know, we use music to do that. Whereas it's the other way around. Sometimes people are just using music so kids can have a place to stay right. and not be on the streets and whatever. We want our young people to be active, engaged mm-hmm. citizens. We want to not burn the young people out mm-hmm. on activism at age 14. Mm-hmm. We want them to be lifelong activists. Mm-hmm. That's our goal. The thing that I'm really passionate about is the fact that we really do have to give spaces for young people to do this. We can't tokenize them. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for us to develop young leaders who are going to be able to really, the world is more complex than ever. You know, it's harder to grow up than when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to grow up than even my parents, you know, so
That's right.
it's just much more difficult. And yeah. I feel very strongly that we have to equip young people with the capacity for critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's going to lead them.
What do you think makes the difference between someone who's just aware of an issue or a problem and someone who is a catalyst?
Yeah, that's my existence, is to catalyze opportunities for people to take leadership. And I think the difference is leadership development is about opportunities to step up, opportunities to do things. Mm-hmm. If those opportunities don't exist, then those people stay in the awareness stage and they don't move to the catalyzing project stage. Mm-hmm. Very few people do that work well, of providing people opportunities for leadership. That is my whole mission mm-hmm. in life. The work that I do at whether it's the Freedom School, whether it's the Young Women's Action Team, whether it's Women and Girls Can, whether it's BSLN, whether it's been all the organizations that I've been involved in starting in my lifetime, that's been the case.
Okay. And who can help solve some of the problems of the bigger issues like
all of us. I think that there's no such thing. I think that we have to have a holistic approach to things. I don't believe in an approach that's all segmented. I think that we have to look at things holistically. I think we all have a responsibility. I think we all need to do more of what we can. Yes. I think that if everybody did more of what they could, we would solve problems. Start where you are. And people always ask me, it's amazing. People will say to me, how do you get so many people? I mean, how did you just start the Freedom School? How did you? And I say, you know what? It's a matter of putting it out there to people. Mm-hmm. People want to help. People want to be engaged. People want to be part of situations. It's our job to reach out and make that happen. You know, it isn't. I don't see, everybody keeps saying like, oh, everybody's so apathetic. I don't see that at all.
Right.
I see constant people constantly interested. We have more young people at Project Nia right now wanting to volunteer for us than we know what to do with. I got resumes yesterday. Wonderful sounding young people. Mm-hmm. We don't have the capacity to incorporate them into a tiny organization like ours.
Right.
We cannot, there are two of us. We have a million trillion volunteers already. That's management. You know, I have a volunteer who volunteer manages.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Awesome.
I mean, but it's that's the level of it. And you need to provide people with support.
Now let's talk about Project Nia.
Yes, Project Nia.
What is Project Nia?
Project Nia is an organization that is working towards trying to dramatically decrease arrests and incarceration of young people. And we do that by creating community-based alternatives to incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
So real mission in life is to eradicate youth incarceration. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing. In the meantime, we'll just try to divert kids from
and
the
you said a big word
system.
You said eradicate.
We want that over. We want no more youth incarceration. We think incarceration is detrimental. We think it doesn't solve problems. We think it doesn't make our communities safer. Mm-hmm. And so we work really hard on usually on three levels, on a community-based level, at a school-based level, mm-hmm. and we work in an advocacy, you know, kind of citywide advocacy level.
Sure.
And we do that in many different ways. And as I mentioned to you before, we have so many projects we could be doing.
Yeah.
Do you know, there are so many things. And so Girl Talk, for example, is our opportunity to be able to re-engage with the jail.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally don't have time to be going back to run that.
Okay.
And frankly, the girls and the young women who are in there, I'm way older than they are.
Right.
They need people closer to their age to engage them. So this idea that we have of creating a leadership
team. That's
scene,
power, to know that. To know that and not decide, oh, I'm the best person to do it because, you know, I can do the research. I have to gather the knowledge. But shouldn't the children be talking to the children?
Thank you. You got to know where
they have brains.
And you got to know, this goes back to my point about you got to know what your talents are.
Yeah.
You also got to know what your capabilities are. You
mm-hmm.
got to know what your boundaries need to be.
Sure.
So instead, what I can do is support a group of young women
mm-hmm.
to become leaders themselves in creating this project.
Like Young Women's Action.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, it'll be young women older than that, college
sure.
age and over,
okay.
up to 35.
Okay.
And we'll support them in trying to
That's
make
awesome.
Sure that they can do this project. And what I can do is I have the connections to the jail.
What's the mission statement of Project Nia?
Project Nia works to dramatically decrease of the arrests and the incarceration, the detention of youth.
Mm-hmm.
I've always known the importance of using technology to communicate your message and to engage people. But in the last, I would say particularly, I've gotten new religion in the last 4 months, especially for our organization, about the ways in which we need to go. I think I mentioned before that Project Nia has a website, which is www.project-nia.org. And that website is very, you know, I think it provides good and useful information. It links to our Facebook page. So we try to at least post something weekly on our Facebook page so people are aware
sure.
of what's going on, either events or you know, connections to other kinds of things that are going on, articles, things like that, that would be of interest to the people who are our Facebook friends. The other thing we've decided to do is that we're going to have an intern this year
mm-hmm.
who all these young people who want to join our organization and do stuff,
mm-hmm.
we can get a We're going to get somebody who's going to be our new media intern.
Okay.
Who's going to maintain our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Who's going to maintain our Twitter account. Get
What's
followers.
Your Twitter name?
Our Twitter name is Project Nia.
Okay.
And we are also looking into having this intern create a plan for us for sustainability of upkeep of new media. What other kinds of new media should we be on?
Excellent.
What, you know, how do we engage people through new media? Mm-hmm. I just started a blog, which is www.usprisonculture.com/blog. I don't know a thing. I just want to say this to people who often feel like they are overwhelmed by technology. I want to just give one moment of my come to religion moment on this issue. I don't have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook account, but I don't keep a Facebook page for many reasons, but mainly because I don't want to be so accessible.
Sure.
And I don't want to constantly be updating stuff. I don't have time.
Okay.
So I'm not doing that. And a lot of people laugh at me, right? A lot of my friends, my family, they're like, oh, you're not on Facebook. I never was on Twitter. I don't really care about all this stuff. I mean, I do emails. I can't figure out text message on my phone, which I think Nicole knows.
You told me about.
I mean, so I took me a long time to figure out how to do a period on the text message. Like, I am not technologically there. I'm not averse to it. I'm just not focused on
it. And you're admitting your
My limitations and what mm-hmm. I care about, right? Like, sometimes people want to put a lot of energy in something, mm-hmm. other people don't, and I mm-hmm. never have wanted to do that. Well, about 2 months ago, I started thinking about, you know, I get so much information
right.
through my, you know, just constantly. People tell me stuff about what's going on in criminal legal issues.
Right.
I said, you know what? Instead of, I'm going to create my own blog. How do I do that?
Okay.
I went online and I Googled, how do you create your own blog? And I got a great amount of small, short tutorials
right.
on how to use WordPress and how to do whatever. And in a matter of one night, I created my WordPress site.
Nice.
I got myself a domain name.
Mm-hmm.
I signed up for the account. I got signed up for a server
mm-hmm.
to host it. And I was up that night.
Miriam, this has been an absolutely fantastic interview. I think we've learned so much about you and about civic engagement as a whole. Finally, what's your message to people?
I think start with something small. Focus on your talents and strengths and your interests, the things that you really love, and use those things to be able to give back. So if you're a knitter, find an organization where people are knitting stuff for young people who are in the hospital and join that. You know, join a craft group, a social justice craft group. If you are somebody who loves to cook, many, many organizations around the city right now are struggling with getting nutritious snacks for youth in their after-school programs. That is an excellent way for you to be able to contribute or go to a local school and bring some snacks at the end of the day for the students there. People would be loving you. You know, use what you know how to do and just look out for opportunities to give back in those ways. And I think there are no shortage of opportunities to give.
Thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you.
And you've been civically engaged. I'm Nicole Cabell.